Ace Podcast.
You're listening to the Crazy Town Podcast, Season 2, Episode 3, with me, Jonas, and TNT Dynamite.
What's going on, guys?
Hey, TNT, question. If someone tells you they have a virus on their computer, where's the first spot people usually joke they got it from?
Pornographic sites?
Absolutely what I was looking for.
Yeah, I get a point.
Did you know that you're more likely to get a virus looking for God or Allah or Jehovah or whoever than a gangbang?
Who the hell goes looking for Jesus on the internet?
I don't know now that I think about it. But according to Symantec, the antivirus producing company, you are three times more likely to get a virus from a religious website than a porn site. The comparison was 115 software threats to 25 software threats.
All right. I guess God loves a hacker, I guess.
Right. No, what I guess I was thinking, and I think it may have mentioned this too, is I think that they're trying to gear towards that more older people are going to religious websites that know less about computers and would be more likely to click on a stupid link or whatever than someone who's, like, looking at porn.
That's valid.
Right.
Well, what is, like, a hacker or the maker of a virus, what do they get out of that?
Dude, I've been thinking about this for a long time. Like, I don't know. Like, I get that people hate Microsoft, so they always want to, like, screw with people who use Windows, so that, you know, so there's not a lot of viruses for Linux or Apple, you know, Mac or whatever. So I don't know, man. I some people just like to watch the world burn, dude.
Oh, I respect that, actually.
We talked about the 4chan guys finding the LaBeouf's flag, and they could have put their time to do something else, like finding ISIS's mom. Anyways. Now that we've ruined your day to make you never want to look for Jesus on the internet again, enjoy the show.
One, take three!
Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Crazy Town Podcast. I am your host, Jonas, and once again, I'm here with my co-host, TNT Dynamite. Go ahead and say hello to everyone.
What's going on, everybody? TNT Dynamite here, the explosive one. TNT, D-I-N-O-M-I-G-H-T. What's going on, Jonas?
Oh, not much, man. Just chilling, doing a podcast with you, my friend.
Yeah, as usual, this is what we do.
It is. So, I do want to thank you all for listening. If you aren't following us on Twitter, it is at the Crazy Town Pod. Do that today, or Grandma will take away your fruitcake this Christmas.
God damn it, I love fruitcake.
I know, right? Also, the cornucopia of continuous information is thecrazytown.com. It's all the stuff about the show in real time, or as real time as it gets. Or when I put it up, so, you know.
Whichever comes second.
Right. In order to pay the bills real quick, I do want to ask you a quick question, TNT Dynamite.
Do you like audiobooks? I don't have any money, Jonas. What the fuck?
Do you like audiobooks, though? I mean, you like audiobooks, right?
Oh, yeah, but I still don't have any money. Is there a way around that?
Oh, actually, I have a way. You can have a free trial for audiobooks.
Son of a bitch, you've caught my attention.
Yeah, go to audibletrial.com/CrazyTownPodcast and sign up. The boys at Crazy Town Podcast hook you up with a free month, 30 days.
I love those boys.
I know.
Love audio. Dude, this is the worst acting.
I love Days. I'm a big fan of Days, TNT, and they'll get 30 of them. Anyways, now that we got that out of the way, go sign up and help us out, guys. It'd be great. Anyways, do not forget, everyone, to send us emails at thecrazytownpodcast@gmail.com. Send us some news links, or tell us how much you hate us, or tell us what you want us to do different, or whatever. And then we also have that rant and rave voicemail line. We've got some things on it, but nothing that's really worthy to put on the show or even I can't even understand what people are saying. So make sure you talk clear and you'll get on the show. What's the number, TNT? The rant and rave voicemail line?
911.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Do not call 911 when you're drunk. Call 512-TAX-1-NIP. Unless there's a dangerous situation, then call 911.
Yeah, you hate taxes, you love NIPS, that perfect amalgamation of things you love and hate.
Right, exactly. So, TNT, I have probably the best fan mail email that we have gotten before, and I want to read it to you because I think you will enjoy this one.
I'm waiting with bated breath.
Okay, I will bring the masturbated breath.
Good one. Good one.
All right, this comes from a man who, he put his name as Shane from Florida. I don't know. But here is his email.
Huh?
You guys are some punk-ass bitches that are always talking shit on Florida. But I like your show. You make my girl laugh. Quit being pussies and stop fronting on Florida, and I'll tell my mom about the show. Maybe I'll airbrush your logo on my little cousin's shirt and take him to Disney World. Don't read this on the podcast either, asshole.
Okay. All right. Well. So seeing as though we didn't follow his third wish there, I don't think we should stop talking about how shitty Florida is either.
Oh, I'm definitely never going to stop talking about Florida. Dude, if we stopped talking about Florida, there would be no stories for the podcast.
There'd be none.
I just said podcast. For the podcast. Anyways, I wanted to give Shane a shout out, even though he specifically told me not to. So we love you, Shane, and I'm glad that we're punk ass bitches and we're fronting on Florida. But at least your girl laughs. And if you do actually airbrush a shirt and take your cousin to Disney World, send me a goddamn picture.
Yeah, what's really crazy, Jonas, is that a lot of people in Florida seem to think that Cleveland is a crazier place than Florida.
Yes, because they live in Florida, so they're like, it's like the water. It's got them all fucked up.
It is. It's like, it's not the water. I was going to say they're so used to the fucking constant stream of crazy that enters their life that they just don't know.
I have
it's
found.
Like living in fucking North Korea, and they're right. Like, oh, they think everything's chill.
They're like, hey, my dictator just killed his brother for no reason and a thing. That's cool.
Again.
That's what happens.
That's normal, but cheeseburgers crazy.
Yeah, the internet? Oh my god.
I know, right? Anyway, fuck you, Florida, I live here.
Alright, we have a beautimous show planned for you all today. We have actually an awesome interview set up for a little later today, TNT. Do you ever watch Ink Master? The TV show? The tattoo reality show?
Honestly, no, I may have caught like one or two episodes of it, but I'm familiar with the premise.
All right, cool. Well, we have Kay Cutta. He was a contestant on season 2. He will be calling into the show later. We'll have an interview with him. We also have a story about AI taking over the world, but I do want to start today by asking you, have you ever heard of a trial by ordeal?
Ooh, something to add to the knowledge book. No, I've never heard of this.
All right. So this is something that they used to do back between the 9th and the 13th century, and it was a way to determine whether someone was guilty or not guilty. Like before, I guess we had trials, like regular trials. This was trial by ordeal.
Just like throwing witches in the water if they float or some shit?
Kinda. I'll go through it. It's kind of neat, like, it kind of solves itself, but it's pretty interesting how they used to do this.
Okay.
It uses the ideal that the only really one person knows if they're truly guilty, and I'm not talking about, like, God, it'd be like, the person being accused obviously knows if he's guilty or not.
Okay.
And then if there's, like, a victim, I guess they would know. But in the eyes of God, you know, back then, everybody was afraid of God like crazy, you know, back in the 9th and 13th century.
Yeah.
So what they would do, if someone did something and the evidence was lacking, they would call upon God to inform them about the status of the defendant. Okay?
Okay.
They would call this judicial ordeals.
Okay.
Yeah. So they'd use different things such as dunking someone in holy water or walking barefoot across burning coals.
Okay, fuck that.
Right. But the one I want to touch on, the most popular one, the two, was called the Ordeal of Boiling Water or the Ordeal of Burning Iron.
None of those sound like a pleasurable experience.
Right. So what they would do, the boiling water one, was basically you would have to plunge your hand into a cauldron of boiling water and grab a metal ring out of the bottom of the cauldron with your hand. The iron was that you took a piece of burning iron and carried it in your hands for a certain amount of time.
What the fuck?
A few days later, they would check your hands, and if your hands were burnt, then you were guilty.
What?
The idea was that if you weren't guilty, God would prevent your hand from being burnt. So essentially it would be a miracle, and you would be proven innocent because your hand wasn't burnt from sticking it in boiling water.
So wouldn't just everybody be guilty?
Right. That's what I thought, essentially. But you're looking at it too big picture like I was.
Okay.
Getting God to perform a miracle for the innocent would be a great thing. You know, if they could just, you know, the priest could be like, hey, God, let's do some miracles today. Uh-huh. But, you know, back then everyone believed priests could talk to God and you know, I'm sorry. Priests can talk to God now, too, for everyone who still goes to church. They're right up there.
Are you taking jabs at our Christian audience?
No, man. They can believe whatever they want to believe. I don't want to let them know that they can't talk directly to God or anything. I mean,
all right. I'm infatuated with how a person's going to get around burning their hand in something that clearly burns your hand.
Right.
How do you get around that? What's the trick?
Basically, if you went under the ordeal and God uh-huh. said you were guilty, your hand was burned, you still had to pay a large fine because you were guilty. If you were innocent, just burning your hand isn't the punishment. That's just to prove you're guilty, man.
Dude, let me just pay the fucking fine and not pay and not have to burn my shit.
Well, hold on. This is where it all kind of comes around.
Okay, I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. I get it. That was my thought. I was like, well, fuck, if I gotta pay a fine anyways, why don't I just pay a fine? But they would, there was like a mindset to this.
Okay.
Because if you didn't want to undergo the ordeal, you could just admit you were guilty and pay a fine. But here's how this all kind of worked. If you were guilty, then the criminal knew that God knew he was guilty and that his hand would be burnt when he put it into the boiling water. So essentially, if you were guilty, you would never choose to do the ordeal because the ordeal was what determined if you were guilty or not. So if you were guilty, you knew that God knew that you were guilty. So if you put your hand in boiling water, you would burn your hand and still have to pay a fine.
Oh, yeah, of course. It's because I don't want to shame God. It has nothing to do with the fact that I just don't want to fucking burn my hand.
But if you were innocent, you got to remember, dude, back then, they believed that God could do things like this.
Okay.
If you were innocent, you would have no problem
burning your hand,
plunging your hand into boiling water, because you would know that you were innocent and that the priest would have God perform this miracle so your hand would not be burnt. Okay?
I mean, I get it, man.
It makes sense, right?
You said it many different times in many different ways. I still don't understand where are we going with this. What are you trying to say?
They did this. This was almost a trick. Because the guilty would never choose to do the ordeal because they knew that they would be maimed. So, obviously, only people who were innocent would choose to do the ordeal because they would be that hell-bent on proving they were innocent.
Oh, or not even that hell-bent, but the fact that they were stupid comes into play.
Well, I mean, back then, they assumed that God could do whatever.
Right. Everybody. I mean, not saying that God cannot perform miracles. Believe me, I understand that. But, I mean, come on, that's stupid.
Well, right, I get it. But they have found old instruction manuals for the priests that used to do these ordeals. So it was actually a giant ruse, all of it.
Oh,
because
okay.
The instruction manual, the priests prepared the fire in private so they could let the fire cool down before they put the water on it.
What?
Then the priest would sprinkle holy water over the water, essentially cooling the water again by dumping cold water into the boiling water.
What?
And then they would put the cauldron on the stage while he was doing his sermon, and they would take it off the fire so it would allow it to cool even more. And, so, and the stage was far enough, it was on a stage, and like, it was like in a church almost, so they would be up on the front where they're preaching, and all the audience would be away from what was going on. So by the time the guy actually plunged his hand into the water, it was hot enough to feel hot, but not hot enough to actually burn their arm.
Dude, that's like some fucking Penn and Teller type shit.
Right. So essentially, it was a whole giant ruse. Because they used just the actual fact that you were going to have to do this challenge to determine whether you were guilty or not, then the priest would stage it as like a show, and they would know 100% that you weren't going to get burnt, because the water may be hot enough to turn your arm red, but not hot enough to actually like burn your flesh off.
So really these priests were like the world's first Chris Angel. Mind freak.
Right. Friar Angel.
Friar Angel.
They all had on their... In the 9th century, did they wear those, like, brown tunics and wore those little, like, and wore the...
Sorry, Jonas, I'm not really up to my fucking 9th century fashion trends.
What do you mean? If you were on Jeopardy, the 9th century Roman Catholicism wouldn't be your star fucking category?
Yeah, I'm not sure if Ralph Lauren was too big back then. I don't know, dude.
Yeah, they were all wearing FUBU short sets and shit.
FUBU short sets? Oh, I don't know why that's funny to me, but it's fucking hilarious. Short sets.
So, but what do you think of that? Isn't that fucking crazy? Like,
it is. It's crazy, but it just kind of speaks to the fact of how stupid people were back then, how uneducated. Because that shit wouldn't work today, even if, you know, the belief was as strong as it was back then.
Oh, no, absolutely not. I mean, people would in a minute be like, well, I'll just take the chance to burn my hand because something might happen. Mm-hmm. They're not going to let me burn my hand. Well, I mean, now everybody's such a cupcake. It'd be like, I mean, like.
All right, Tommy Lauren. Everybody's so soft. Are you trying to say?
Yeah, dude. Well, yeah, I mean, you're just right. Like everybody, like, I mean, if this even came up that someone may have to do this, the world would explode. People would just go crazy. I mean, people still get crazy over the death penalty. You know what I mean? And we hardly ever execute anyone anymore.
I don't know, man. Texas is still pretty fucking, it was the last time they did it.
Oh, I think last week they just, like, shot someone for fun.
Did they really?
They're just like, hey, inmate number 72804, hey, yeah, what's going on? Supposed to get out next week. Boom! Ha-ha, death penalty. No, that's not
I always thought it was like the Wild West out there.
Oh, it is. Yeah, there's like, you know, there's like people with bullet vests on, like those old, like, those old
bullet
westerns.
Vests.
Yeah, like they have a cross of X across their chest. It's just lines of bullets you put in one of those fucking
Yeah,
they're all wearing fucking big sombreros that are 3 foot around, and they're fucking wearing this fucking thing. It's just, yeah, it's like the Wild West, dude. It's
all right, yeah. All right, I'd buy it. I mean, honestly.
Yeah, that's. I mean, anywhere outside of Austin's like that. Austin's, okay. Yeah. I mean, it's like you go back in time. It's like you step into the 1800s when.
Fucking Briscoe County Jr. over here.
Briscoe County, fucking what's the fucking Chuck Norris Medicine Man show? Walker, Texas Ranger.
Walker, I thought you were talking about Dr. Quinn.
Dr. Quinn Medicine Man.
Quick, how many fucking Western sitcoms can we name?
Oh, God. Bonanza?
You win. You fucking win.
Is Little House on the Prairie a Western?
Yeah, it was.
Stairway to Heaven? Michael Landon.
Never even heard of this.
That's the one that Michael Landon was in, dude.
Who the fuck is Michael? Isn't that like the poor man's Mel Gibson?
I don't know. He was in that show like Highway Mel to Gibson Heaven, and he like died early from stuff. I don't know what he died from.
Oh yeah, I do kind of remember Michael Landon. Was he in Fall Guy? Fall Guy was Wesley.
Oh, the Fall Guy. No, that was Lee Majors. He was the $6 million man, dude.
How do you know these names, man?
Because Heather Locklear was in the $6 million Earn the Fall Guy when she was, like, young.
Who the fuck is Heather Locklear?
She was the chick on Melrose Place, dude. Like
what the fuck is Melrose Place?
Millennial Jackson shining through. Anyways.
Yeah.
I thought Trial by Ordeal was cool. Do you want to do that?
Do I want to do what? Try to burn my fucking fist for nothing? No, I'm good. Thank you.
No, I want to see if you want. We can do a trial by ordeal. You can trust me. I'll make the water cool. We can set up like a soapbox, and we're preaching at the park, and we'll be like, come on, come all, watch the magical burning hand trick, and then I'll make sure the water's cool. Just trust me. Just shove your face in it.
Yeah. Hey, I was thinking that actually when you were talking about this. What if like. The priest just, like, really didn't like the guy who was doing the trial.
He found out he was, like, sleeping with his wife.
He's like, yeah, fuck this guy.
He's on trial for adultery with his wife, and he's like, I'm just gonna not cool it down for this guy.
Yeah, he's like judge, jury, and executioner, man. That's...
Dude. Oh, and then he pulled out his hand and be all melty like that scene in T2.
All melty.
Yeah, dude, if you put your hand in boiling water, it's gonna melt.
I mean, I guess. I was thinking, like, just do it real fast or something.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I wonder. Why don't we do that? Why don't we see how long it takes to before your skin melts off in boiling water?
All right, you go first.
No, it's my idea. You go first. All right. Anyways, that's enough about this right now. We will be right back in a minute, and we will have Kay Cutta from Ink Master on the line doing a quick interview. So we will be right back.
Where am I? Hi, I'm Alex.
And I'm Dimitri. We're the Boondoggle.
And you're listening to the Crazy Town Podcast.
And we are back now on the Crazy Town Podcast with a very special guest. He is a tattoo artist extraordinaire, Mr. Kay Cutta. Welcome to the show.
Kay motherfucking Cutta.
Yo. Fucking
damn. Damn, son. Where'd you find this?
Oh, Jesus. So why don't you go ahead and tell everybody real quick where they can find you online and everything if they're interested in checking you out.
You can check me out at, KCutta_tattoos on Instagram, KCutta on Facebook, Needle Juice Tattoos on Facebook. Only look for me if you're trying to spend some money or something, man. Don't come over here and try to heckle me and just ride my dick for free and all that dumb shit.
Right.
It's about the business. I like that.
Yeah, so, I mean, a lot of people probably know you from Ink Master. You were on season 2, one of the first seasons ever. But let me go and start here. Kay Cutta, where did you get that nickname from?
Oh, man, there's a couple of variations to that story, man, but, it actually came from, prison, out of about 1,400 people, it was a couple people named K, so they tend to describe you by which K, you know what I'm saying? So I was like 300 pounds when I went to prison, and I was about, 190 when I got out, so I was always like exercising to cut up or lose a lot of weight. So K, Cutta,
You willing to talk about why you ended up in the pen, man? Why'd they lock you up?
Cocaine, what do you think guns, you did? Man. You know, the usual shit. What they think I did? Oh, I did it. It wasn't a question about it. I'm not that guy. I was innocent. Nah, I wasn't.
Okay.
So, I gotcha. I gotcha.
Yeah, little drugs and guns, man. You know, typical bullshit.
Gotcha.
You're changing in and out.
Yep. Yeah, so from what I understand, you first started tattooing around like when you were like a teenager? Like you started teaching yourself how to mess around with tattooing?
Yeah, about 11, 12 years old, I gave myself my first tattoo, and it involved a needle, a sharpened needle, and some thread. And the thread was wrapped around the bottom of part of the needle, which is a little bit of the point sticking out, and you dip it in some Indian ink, and you just poke a whole bunch of dots. And everywhere you leave a dot of ink. So the closer you get those dots, you make a line. So, and it's funny that every time I get a new apprentice or whatever, when I'm like a drill sergeant, I'm like, what is a tattoo? And they're like, it's a series of dots. And that's basically what a tattoo is. So I always, you know, yell that out when I'm teaching or whatever. And that's basically what a tattoo is, man. It was a series of dots. So the more of those dots are spread out, you know, that's what we call shading. And the more condensed or close you get those dots, you create a line. And that's what line work is. So
Awesome. And now you were self-taught. Did you have any sort of mentor or did you kind of teach it all yourself?
I'm self-taught, but along my journey, I met people that were more experienced than me, and I picked up gems from different people here and there, but I'm pretty much self-taught, man. Still self-taught. I still teach myself things. So, yeah, I never had a mentor or anything.
Like, looking through your work here, man, you've got some talent, though. Like, did you excel in art class and shit like that? Were you always, talented with a pen?
I could tell some crazy stories, but the best story, I took commercial art when I was in 10th grade in high school. Yes. And basically it was part of a program where we left school and went to a vocational school and we took classes and we learned about advertising and things like this. And the teacher, this is so crazy. The teacher, she would run like these little campaigns, almost like a competition or whatever, where we would like create a business and create logos for the business and things like this. Now, there's a catch to this shit. This shit is real funny. So there's one particular campaign or whatever, you know, we had to design a hair salon or some shit like that. And the crazy shit, I came up with this idea, and it was called Curl Up and Die. And I spelled Curl Up with a K, K-U-R, Curl Up and Die, D-Y-E. And I did six to eight logos or whatever. Real shit, this is no lie. You can look it up right now. There's a salon in, like, California. The teacher, this woman, this bitch.
She stole your shit?
She was selling my shit, man. Like,
no! This
is not a lie. This is a true fucking story, man. So, as an adult, I'm sitting in prison one day, and, like, watching one of these little stupid-ass shows on TV or whatever, like a fucking... they like reface a salon or like fix her up or shit or whatever. And my fucking shit pops up on TV and I'm like, what the fuck? I'm like, hold up. I'm like, I designed this in school. I'm like, I did this before. It was the whole damn logo. Like everything.
Stop lying too. It's so
hilarious. It was every fucking thing, man. I said, man, I'd be dead. Everything just hit me right there. And I was like, man, this woman was selling our shit. And why wouldn't she? You know what I'm saying? Yep. We were like 15 and 16. We were fucking kids. And she was teaching us something, but she was getting a little, like, menial or basic-ass pay or whatever. But she had a bunch of talented-ass kids, and she would put us against each other and start these competitions, and she would sell our shit.
Wow.
Swear to God. True story.
Crazy.
Like, I never told that story before. That's a real shit.
Oh, that's awesome. Thanks, man. I appreciate that. Now, I thought I heard somewhere where you had said the teachers in school actually, some of them actually discouraged you from doing art and drawing and all that shit.
Oh hell yeah, man. I'm from Youngstown, Ohio. I mean, it's not a special place or anything like that, but back then, you know, in the 80s, even early 90s, shit, some places even now, a child's talents aren't encouraged to go in a direction that, you know, their mind leads them in. So all I wanted to do was draw. I wasn't interested in X equals Y. None of that bullshit. I was like, what the fuck is this shit? I was like, I'm not going to be able to make no money doing this shit. So I would get kicked out of school for drawing and get sent to detention for drawing and all kind of bullshit. And, it became discouraging. Like, if I'm getting in trouble for this shit, it can't be a good thing. Because I can't, like, stay in class. Like, I'm getting suspended. I'm getting kicked out of school for this shit. So that was discouraging. And one particular teacher, the story that you're talking about, her name was Miss Renzi. She was a math teacher. She told me, like, to my face, you know what I'm saying? I'm talking about, like, 11-year-old kid. She was like, you'll never get paid for drawing. You know, this is back in the 80s or whatever. So And I didn't know anybody that was like, get paid to be an artist. You know what I'm saying? So I was like, damn, I guess you're right. And then a couple years later, you know, so I just said, fuck school pretty much, period. And that's when I started, you know, that's when I started fucking with the streets or thugging or whatever.
Right,
so
right.
Yeah, it was basically teachers that turned me to the street. But instead, if teachers or whatever or leaders of kids would be able to spot people's gifts and like
encourage
encourage that shit and send them in the right direction, you wouldn't have a lot of people or kids on the street doing the things that they're doing now. But you know, they have schools that you have to pay for that shit or shit like that. It doesn't happen naturally. So yeah, that's what happened to me. Pretty much.
Oh man, Kate, let me tell you something real quick. Me and TNT are both from Northeast Ohio. I lived in Youngstown for about 5 years.
Yeah.
Oh, damn. Still sorry for you, man.
Right?
Yeah, I'm from Cleveland, yo, though.
Yeah.
Like, all my life.
I'm from the east side of Youngstown, man. Real fucked up.
Oh, the east side over... Oh, man. Yeah, okay. Yeah, I lived on the west side, and I lived in Austintown and Boardman at different points that I lived there, so...
Oh, yeah, you was a spoiled fuck, man. You was a spoiled motherfucker.
Oh, I was adult, man. I lived on the north side, too, over by... over by Youngstown State and shit. Like, I was in my college.
Yeah. You have any Bellaria pizza when it was over there on Logan Avenue?
Yeah, I had Bellaria we used to go, did you ever go to Petra up over by the park on, what fucking road was that? It was this little...
Wick Avenue?
Yeah.
Wick Avenue, Fifth Avenue? Yeah.
Do you know Petra? Oh shit, dude. That place was crazy.
None. Yeah, man.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah. Small world, dude. Small world. So,
yeah, man.
So do you think, like, you know, that was kind of like a turning point? Like, you know, like you said the teachers were discouraging you from school and you said you started being on the streets. Will that, like, be a major turning point, like, where you took that path other than, like, an academic path?
Definitely, man. I would say early 90s, a couple gangster movies came out. I was just on that, brink of, like, what the fuck I'm going to do with myself. I was a teenager. And, actually the movie Minister Society is what turned me out, man. That's shit. I was like, damn, this is what I want to do. You know what I'm saying? I want to be on the street, slapping people with pistols and shit. That's, you know, this is what happened. I felt like school just wasn't, you know, I didn't have anything in school that really, enticed me. You know, I never saw myself going to college and on shit like that. I didn't even know who the fuck a guidance counselor was. I mean, we had guidance counselors when I was in school, but I didn't know who the fuck they was. You know, the school was just fucked up when I was young.
Oh, yeah, man, absolutely.
Just, you know,
yeah, yeah. You know. So I saw like, in a thing you talked about, that when you were in prison, like right before you got out, that your sister and you had like an argument and she said something to you that kind of changed your mindset of like how to move forward in life and everything?
Yeah, still to this day, man, I never forget that. We was just... going back and forth in the discussion, and her words were, you've put yourself in a position where you can't do anything for anybody. And I was like, damn, that's one of the illest shits anybody ever said to me, because it was kind of the truth. But I was like, you know what? In the back of my mind, I was like, I'm going to reverse that shit. I'm like, I'm not going to accept that shit. Like, you know what I'm saying? I'm going to do something about that. So even still to this day, like, I just got an email from like a kid in Germany or some shit. I mentor kids like via email or social media or video chat with them and things like that. I was like, if nothing at all, somebody somewhere is going to be able to say, you know what, because of K, you know, I was able to, because nobody did that for me. And I know it would have made a difference. So, you know, I make sure I do that whenever I can.
Right, right. I saw you had some videos and stuff where you were talking to like middle school, high school kids about entrepreneurship and everything like that.
Right.
And you had
right,
said it's good
right.
to catch them at that age because that's a good, it's like a turning yep. point where, you know, if they don't have anyone, yep. they may take the path you led and, you know, not.
Exactly.
So that's very exactly. awesome, man. That's very awesome that you came out to do that. You know, a lot of people, you know, they go to prison, they come out and they do whatever, but it's good that you've taken under your wing to help kids out and make them see that they have potential.
Yeah. I mean, they need to hear it. You know, nobody told me, and it's not really anything that I like set aside to do. It's just something that everybody should do in their natural walk of life, man. You know, people that look up to you, and you never know whose life you could change, man, by just a couple positive words, man. You take 5 minutes out of your day, you can change somebody's whole world, you know?
I'm loving the positivity, man. You say you teach people to tattoo as well?
I just got two new apprentices. My first apprentice, she's now a pretty successful tattoo artist now. She really? She sets her own boundaries, but she could do everything that I could do if she wanted to. But I just got two new apprentices, and yeah, man, I mean, it's not like I go around teaching people to tattoo, but as a business owner and a tattoo artist, I mean, you have to build your team that way. I mean, you set your own, the way you make money by either taking somebody in or taking somebody who doesn't know how to tattoo and teaching them how to tattoo. So, yeah, I often find myself in a position where I have to take talented young people and, you know, teach them to do what I do.
You're not fucking any apprentices, are you?
Nah, never have, but I've had a couple clients, though. I mean, it happens, you know what I'm saying? I mean, tattooing is an intimate, I tell people all the time, man, tattooing is an intimate, very, very, very intimate situation. And if you get, matter of fact, hell, damn, two or three of my kids' moms were started off with clients. Yeah, man, I couldn't even sit up here and act like, you know, that doesn't happen because it happens.
Yeah, right.
It does happen.
Yeah. Now you specialize in photorealism color, correct?
Photorealism, black and gray.
Black and gray. All right. Now that's something that like a lot of people struggle with. You know what I mean? Just in general. Why do you think that? I mean, is that something you've always been able to do, like portraits when you can draw and all that, or is that something you've built up over the years?
I don't know, man. It's something about, you know, only certain people I ask can really do it. And I'm not the best in the world at it, but I do it fairly well. And basically what it is that, you have to trust your eye. You know, you have to tattoo what you see. Sometimes it doesn't make sense, but you have to follow the shapes. You have to look at the shapes of things and just tattoo what you see. And a funny story about that is when I first started tattooing, once I got my keys to the first shop I was working in, you know, they would leave and leave me there. And I understood my boundaries or whatever, and they was like, now, you know what to do, what it, blah, blah, it was talked about, you know, don't do a portrait, blah, blah, blah. Well, I was probably about 6-7 months in, and one day a portrait walks in, and I was like, you know what? This either sink or sail from here, goddamn. I did that motherfucking portrait, man, blew that shit out the water, and from there on, I mean, you know, I didn't have any more boundaries anymore, they just had any more restraints. But if I would have fucked that portrait up, I probably would have got fired. So,
right. You know, right. Well, man, it's, you know, you really do sometimes got to just go big or go home, right? It's like you take your chance and you sink or swim.
Exactly.
So, all right. So let's get into Ink Master a little bit. That's something that people know you from. If you had to describe the Ink Master experience in just a couple words, what would it be?
Man, that's some bullshit. That's what I was saying.
And that's what I thought you might say about it, man. Like, so.
I mean. It's like, you know, no reality TV anymore is reality TV. You understand what I'm saying? So, mm-hmm. I always tell people it was something
scripted,
cool.
Man.
It was something cool to do at the time. Oh, yeah, scripted as you go. It was something cool to do at the time. I don't regret doing it. I'm sure some people that were on my season regret doing it because some people really basically lost their whole career. Like, they made a fool out of themselves or whatever. It didn't work out for everybody. Some people lost their jobs, lost their shops, because, you know, we don't get paid for doing that shit. I mean, we got paid like
there's no
maybe,
bag?
Wow.
Nah, man, ain't no bag. Nah, no bag in that shit. You get paid like maybe $250 a week.
So you now, only you got money if you won, that was it.
Yeah, you only got the big money if you won, but as far as being there, you left a job that you were maybe making $1,000, $2,000, $3,000 a week, and you went to making $250 a week, and if you were there for a month, that was all y'all said. You blew everything you had. You know what I'm saying? Just being there.
Right.
So,
wow, that's crazy.
Yeah, but it was some bullshit. And I actually, I was supposed to be on season 9 that came, but it just didn't work out. The paperwork didn't really work out. They wasn't really paying shit. They was trying to give me like $1,000 an episode, which would have been cool.
And this is for the Shop Wars or the Master Shop episode?
Yeah, exactly. The Shop Wars. And it would have been good advertisement. My shop, Needle Juice Tattoos in Fayetteville, North Carolina, by the way. And it would have been good for the guy that I was going to take on there with me. He's not a guy that I work with currently at my shop, but he's a guy that I've worked with before. So it would have been good for both of us, but, you know, it just
didn't
work out.
And see, I kind of figured that I watched some of the scenes. It doesn't seem like these people work in the same shop together. So I thought. Like, it was like these two guys didn't even know each other before. Now they work together in a shop that doesn't make any sense.
Right. I mean, you know, you take something, you said something that in the first couple seasons might had a dynamic. You know, what a lot of people don't know is I was casted to remake Al Fliction. Everybody remember Al Fliction from season one. I was basically casted as the bad guy, the black guy, the hard body, asshole. I was casted to replace Al Fliction, but with me, it went so far that every season after that, they've been trying to replace me. Right. And you just keep getting people who get to the point where they're trying to act like me. They're not really, you know, they don't look as good, you know. They're just not as cool or whatever, so it starts getting corny. So by the time you get to season 6 to 7, now you just got people that are deliberately like, okay, yeah, I'm going to be K-Cut, or I'm going to be crazy like Sarah, or
they get
the vixen that's supposed to be Tattoo Baby, or, you know what I'm saying? So it just get real corny.
Right.
And then you just pick a little corny white dude, and then you get the cat.
Well, what I liked about your season and the early seasons, they didn't focus on the house drama much. It was mainly about the tattooing, and now it's like half tattooing, half house drama. So it's like
I pretty much, and it's nothing I take credit for. Whatever, it was really just like they sent us to a psychiatrist before we start filming, so they basically know who's not going to get along with who. But don't get it twisted, we were all cool. Like when the cameras went down, we were drinking. Chilling, like it was a cool house where nobody was fighting, or there wasn't really a lot of drama. But as the cameras rolled, they knew who to sit next to who, because it would create a certain kind of drama. Like they knew that you put me, Steve, and Sarah in the same room, we're gonna start arguing, and then once you edit it down, you're gonna be able to make me look like the asshole. You're gonna be able to make Sarah cry. I mean, it was a natural drama. But now you have people that go into these situations aiming to be these characters that they keep trying to recreate. You understand?
Right, absolutely.
Right.
It's crazy that they're so devious, man. They tend to a psychiatrist so they know how to get a rise out.
A lot of people don't know, like, when reality TV started, with, like, MTV and all that, what they used to do is they would set a camera up and they would run the camera 24 hours a day.
Yeah.
Now, and they would catch whatever they could catch. What they do now is they run the camera about 11, 12 hours a day, and they script what they want, and they hire the attitudes that they want. Back then, they would just be like, damn, we sure hope something happens.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? But now it's a million-dollar production now. They have to make sure they get what they want, because you're not going to film a million-dollar show and your show ain't got shit going on in it.
Right, they put people in situations that will cause drama and hope they act out and be crazy or whatever.
Right. It's so crazy because I was telling my man, I was like, man, you know what? I was like, I think I might have flunked the psych evaluation this time. And this is a real story. This is an exclusive story right here. Awesome. Because they sent me to a psych. Even though I've been on the show before, I still had to do all the shit over again, right? So they sent me to the psych, and the lady doctor was like, what would you do if what the little fucker is or whatever one of the judges is like, they got in your face or whatever. And I looked at, I was like, what you think I'm gonna do?
Right?
There was a part of my season where and if you go ahead, people can go back and watch whoever's listening. There was a part where Oliver, the little dude with the toothpick, he got up out of his seat and started to advance my way. Man, I was going to sling Oliver so many directions and slam his little body in so many places. Like, I'm the type of person where I can stand there and act cool as long as you're running your mouth. But if you make any advancements toward me in any type of physical manner, like touch me, you will fuck around and get hurt, like, real, real bad. And it was just one of them. Yeah, and it was just one of them days where I was 0-1. I think I was a little too honest in my psyche valve.
Right.
This time around. So she was probably like, y'all might not want to put this crazy motherfucker on. And I had a couple cases. I done caught a couple cases since then.
Gotcha.
They probably did their math and was like, yeah, we might not want to fuck with Karen.
Right. Now, how does that show work? Like, how often are you doing the flash challenges and the elimination? Or is it daily, weekly? Like, how does that work?
Man, that shit is, it takes 2 days to make one show. So we gotta put on the same fucking, stanky ass clothes, all that shit. To make it seem like it's happening in one day. But in reality, we have to have our hair the same, we have to put on the same clothes. We can't change anything about ourselves because it fucks up the continuity
of the
recording. But it takes 2 days to make one episode of Game Master.
Is it just back to back to back, or is there days off in between?
Nah, it really, I mean, every now and then, like a holiday might land, and, you know, we might get a day off or whatever, but like, nah, it's pretty much back to back to back to back.
So
like
the
that.
Stress
yeah.
people feel is real because it's like, it's stacked day after day after
right.
day.
Right. If you look, you can see eye bags under people's eyes because we be tattooing at 6 a.m.
Oh,
you know
shit.
What I'm saying? I was like, none of us do this shit in real life. You know what I'm saying? Like, none of us wake up at 6 a.m. and start tattooing and shit.
Why do they do that to y'all, man? Why would they do that to
man, it's a production thing, man. It's a production. We be up partying until 2-3 a.m. They wake us right back up at 6-7 o'clock. We sleeping on twin beds like little bitches and shit, man. It's just crazy, man. It's
now,
crazy shit,
now
man.
From being on that show, can you say you got like a bump in like business and like notoriety and things from that, or did it really not make a huge difference?
That's a good question, man. I would say it has its pluses and minuses because I got a lot of enemies from it. I've been blackballed in certain situations from it. People form their opinions from it and like really don't like me in real life, not realizing that shit is TV. Right. And a lot of that shit is edited. And, I mean, it's put me in situations and it's kept me out of situations. So, I don't know, man. I mean, but what I always tell people, I was making about $80,000 a year before the show. You know what I'm saying? I was doing pretty good. So,
right.
Who knows? I'd probably still be good. I would actually, you know, in my own hometown, I would probably be better off if I hadn't did Ink Master.
Right.
Oh, wow.
That sounds crazy. That sounds crazy, but I'm being real with you. I'd probably be more financially, I'd probably be better off if I hadn't have done it. Because, you know, being on TV, man, it makes people really fucking hate you, man. Like, yo,
yeah.
Your own people in your city, they envy you and your colleagues, people that you work with. Like, it's hard for me to find artists to work with because good artists are like, they feel insecure around me because when the door opens, 9 times out of 10, somebody's coming to see me because of, you know, Ink Master or whatever. So people don't want to work with me because they don't want to be overshadowed.
Right.
So now that I'm an owner, I have to create artists. The artists that are already good, they don't want to work with me.
Right.
Because now they're just a guy that works in Kate Cutter's shop, even if I don't own the shop. You know what I'm saying? So it's fucked up, man.
Yeah, that's crazy.
It's funky, man.
Yeah,
it's
and you don't think about that funky. Side of it. Yeah, people just hate because you're on TV. They, you know, yeah, like you said, they feel intimidated by working with you and everything like that. That's
right.
That's crazy. Now,
right.
Now
right.
You went
they
back.
They don't realize. Yeah.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, you went back on the show as a human canvas and were tattooed by, it was Craig Foster, right?
Yeah, I was tattooed by Craig. Cool guy, man. Cool
yeah,
guy.
He seems all right from the show. I mean, obviously, I don't know him in person, but you got, it was a tattoo of a lady sitting on a chair with a tattoo gun between her legs. And I remember.
That's my child's mom, actually.
Oh,
I'm picking her up right now.
Oh, are
actually,
you?
Yeah, that's my child's mom.
That's not, yeah. Now, was that your idea or his idea or a combo or?
That was my idea, but you know, a white guy's vision of beauty sometimes and a black guy's vision of beauty is never, you know, it's never the same thing sometimes, you know. Number one, what's his face? I forgot the dude's name. The middle dude, the dude that don't tattoo at all.
Oh, Dave Navarro?
He likes Dave Navarro. Cool dude. I have nothing against Dave, but Dave likes boys. And,
that's okay.
Yeah, I'm just being real. And,
yeah.
Oliver pretty much likes boys too, or women that act like boys. And
yeah.
Another dude,
yeah.
I don't really like Chris. we would never agree on anything any fucking way. I remember one time, it was an episode I was on. It was about the traditional shit, right? And
right.
A lot of people like fucked up or botched the flag or whatever, like the tattoo flag. It's not a real flag because the real flag has too many details in it for you to really be able to tattoo 50 stars and all that shit or whatever.
Yeah.
So during that challenge, that episode took 3 days to do. When we went down to be judged, on our off time, we went online and looked up Oliver and Chris's work. And Oliver did some of the same shit that the people on the show fucked up and did. He had the red touching the blue, all that shit. And so what people did was they printed off shit and had shit in their pockets, and they was going what they thought it was. Now, mind you, we got microphones on 24 hours a day. So these motherfuckers are talking about what they're going to do, and they're going to ambush Oliver. How the fuck are they listening to you? Like, what the fuck is wrong with you? These are like America's dumbest criminals, the people I was on the show. They're talking about how they're going to ambush Oliver. They're going to pull the stuff out of their pocket. Like, well, you did it, and you're talking about me, blah, blah, blah. So what happened was when we went down to be judged, they cut off all the cameras, and they said, take everything out your pockets.
Oh, shit.
Right. They said, yeah, they made everybody take all the shit out of their pockets, and they was like, look, we can sit here and waste time. It was like, y'all already know, we're not going to show none of the shit y'all do. Basically, what they were saying, you're not going to discredit our judges and make our judges look stupid.
Well, right. I mean,
so that whole episode was complete bullshit because Oliver fucked up that same shit that he was judging people on numerous times. It was like three people that had pictures in their pockets of him doing the shit.
Oh, talk your
so
shit.
That just goes to show you how much bullshit the show is. But like I said, man, it was a good experience.
Awesome.
And, you know.
Well, whatever. thanks for being candid with us about it, man. I appreciate that.
Dave Navarro didn't hit on you, did he, brother?
Nah, man. Dave knew I would have knocked his motherfucking ass the fuck out, man. I've never had that problem. And it's crazy because, you know, I did 9 years in prison. People always ask, you know, and sometimes they ask kind of shy. They be like, you know, while you was locked up, did you? I was like, look, man. I was like, look, check this out. That doesn't really happen to straight guys or whatever, because there's so many fags. So I'm sorry if anybody takes that as like a derogatory term. That's what I say, gay, or I don't know what the fuck the correct term to fucking say is. Shit is always changing every fucking day. Everybody's sensitive about shit.
It's fine,
but
man.
it's so many gay people that straight people don't get disrespected, or nobody's in there getting raped really, unless you want like a high level, you know, like a real secure yard or like some real violent shit, but nobody's in there getting nothing taken or nobody's getting disrespected because there's so many gay people that's willingly doing it. They don't have to find a straight dude to try to, you know, turn out.
I got so like, so there's plenty of people willing to participate. They don't need to like take
it.
Right.
So basically the only time me and Dave really had any conversation, I also went back on a special called, Ink Master's Most Infamous or some shit like that. And I had an interview. I had like a one-on-one interview with Dave. And that was really the only time me and Dave ever talked. And we was both like, damn, man. And he was a cool dude. And he talked me to shit. And he was like, damn, man, I didn't really get to know you while you was on the show because like, I'm just not a dick riding type dude. Like, I'm not going to be like when the cameras is off, I'm not going to be trying to hang with people and trying to talk to them and shit. I didn't give a fuck about all that shit. Right. I was like, man, look, I was too busy. Oh man, I fucked two producers too. But that's a whole nother.
I was gonna ask you if you fucked anybody on set, man.
Oh yeah, man. Oh man, I fucked two badass producers, bro. They got these people that are basically go get you whatever you want. Like, here's we didn't get paid, but we had so many perks. Like, we was like real famous and shit. I could send them to the liquor store. So basically what I did in my off time was get drunk. I was like, man, look, go to the liquor store. I want some Ciroc and I want some Red Bull. And they stay feeding me Red Bull because I get tired like real easy when I'm bored.
Uh-huh.
So they would pump me with Red Bull and alcohol get like, you know, what they wanted to get out of me. It was like, hey, we need your energy. We need your energy today. I was like, man, go to the liquor store, man. You know what to get me, man. Hurry up.
That's awesome.
Hurry the fuck up.
Now, do you talk to any of the people from your season anymore? Or would you say any of them have become a friend to you, or are they just all people you know now?
I still talk every now and then to Mark. Me and Jesse are pretty cool. Me and Lalo are really cool. I went to stay with Lalo in Brooklyn a little while ago, and I tattooed at Lalo's shop. Me and Tattoo Baby are cool. We don't really talk like that, but we communicate a little bit on social media.
Awesome.
Little Mike is cool with me. Damn, what's the dude from Florida that hurt his back that had to go home? I forgot his name.
Yeah, I don't know.
Me and him are cool. Oh, I met a family member. I met a cousin. Damn, what the fuck was his name?
Wow.
we had the same last name, though. But he do that weird shit like Jesse do. He got that weird-ass style and shit.
Oh, yeah.
Me and him are cool. I mean, everybody's pretty cool. The only person I have not had any contact with is Steve. And Clint, God bless the dead. His faggot ass, he's dead. He died from cancer shit. We was okay, but he was a snake in the grass. He's the type of person that'll be cool with you and then talk about you behind your back.
I got you.
Shit like that.
I got you. That
but,
makes sense.
That type of shit. But, I mean, everybody, when we see each other, everything's all good. I see Sarah every now and then at, conventions sometime, and she's all right, you know. Sarah's not who you would think she is from the show. She's cool.
Oh, really? So she's not nearly as, like, high-strung and, like...
No, not at all. Not at all. Not at all. What was basically going on with the show, Sarah didn't have any social skills. Sarah was homeschooled. She was homeschooled, and she was the only child. She was like perfect for social destruction. That's basically why they casted her.
That makes sense. Well, yeah. We got a couple random questions we ask people that come on the show, so we're gonna ask you two. The first one: if you like pizza, I take it, right? Like everybody likes pizza.
Yeah, I love pizza.
Okay, if you could only have one pizza for the rest of your life with two toppings, every time you ordered it had to be two toppings. What two toppings do you pick?
Oh man, hamburger and extra cheese.
All right, hamburger.
I respect that.
All right, and then the one other one we asked too: if you could combo two animals together with the logistics of it happening not being an issue, what two animals would you pick? For example, I picked a cheetah and a horse. They call it like a horse or a chorse or a cheetah. And Dynamite.
Oh man!
And Dynamite picked the. The dog from Neverending Story and a fucking lizard or what the hell was? I don't even remember.
I wanted to make a dragon, so I was thinking I could mix a lizard with the flying dog. It's not important. My good answer was a gorilla with butterfly wings, because I feel like I could take over the world with flying. Like a gang of the motherfuckers.
I would probably say a American bully and an alligator, a bullygator.
Oh shit!
There we go.
So would it be the bulldog head on the alligator body, or like how would you put it together?
I would have an American bully legs and head with the alligator rough scales and long tail.
I think that's a quality answer, man. So I guess. One last question I have for you. You know, have you ever done a tattoo and got done and went, "Oh shit, I fucked that up"?
I wouldn't say that, but there are tattoos that I wouldn't take a picture of because I let the client get their way. They didn't take my professional advice. They wanted it their way, and it's because it's a business at the end of the day. I take their money and give them what they want. And they're like, "You want to take a picture?" I'd be like, "Nah, cool."
So they were happy with it, but you weren't happy with it.
They loved it, and I was like, fuck that. I don't even know if I know I did this shit.
I want my name on that.
But like you said, at the end of the day, man, as long as they're happy, they'll tell people to come see you.
Right, exactly. It's a business at the end of the day, man.
Sweet. Well, I want to thank you so much for coming on, man, taking time out of your day. We really appreciated you coming on. Do you want to tell everybody where to find you one more time online in your shop and everything like that?
Yeah, the shop is located in Fayetteville, North Carolina. It's called Needle Juice Tattoos, 512 South Raleigh Road, 28314. The phone number 910-527-7800. You can even find me on Instagram, KCutter_tattoos on Instagram, KCutter on Facebook, Needle Juice Tattoos also on Facebook.
Cool. Yes, sir.
Yo.
All right, man. Well, thank you so much. We really appreciate it. And,
yeah, man. Thanks
and you
for
have
coming.
A good day, man.
Okay. All right. Have a good day.
All right, take care, man. And we'll be right back on the Crazy Town Podcast. And we are back on the Crazy Town Podcast with TNT Dynamite and Jonas. So, KCutta, man, what an interview.
I know, man. Pleasant surprise.
Some hot fucking takes on that fucking shit.
He spilled the tea.
He dropped the Ink Master bomb, so to speak.
He dropped the mic.
Yeah, no shit. So good dude, though. Awesome interview. I thought that was a lot of fun. So,
yeah.
TNT, do you know what time it is?
What time is it?
It's time for you to drop some knowledge on them hoes. Are you ready for the learning with TNT word of the day?
Yeah, sure.
All right. What is it? Let's do it. Drop it on us.
All right. Welcome. Today's word is abscond.
Ooh, how do you spell that?
A-B-S-C-O-N-D. Abscond. And it means to leave hurriedly and secretly, typically to avoid detection of or arrest of an unlawful action, such as theft.
Oh, shit. Can you use it in a sentence?
Sure. After I cucked the local police officer, I had to abscond from his house, or he would have shot me. Abscond.
Did you have sex with his partner and he didn't know?
Oh, man, if I'm cucking him, that means I fucked his wife.
Oh, well, I thought maybe you were fucking his boyfriend.
I mean, I'm open to many venues.
Is this on a whole many different levels? Like, the cop is homosexual, and you're having a homosexual affair with his husband, and you're sneaking away because you stole something from his house, and you stole his husband's virginity, and all this stuff?
You had all of that thought process in that 15 seconds.
My brain is a weird place, my friend.
Should you fucking telling me, man?
Anyways, all right. Abscond, huh?
Yeah.
I'm really enjoying all your words. I hope the audience is.
Yeah.
We haven't went down to zero listens yet, so I guess
we haven't gone down to zero. Is that a thing we could do? Is that a possibility?
I guess we could get down where zero people listen to the podcast anymore, eventually. We'll see.
Just start uploading fucking white noise.
Then we'll get zero for sure. All right, I'm going to fit one more story in about how AI is going to take over the world before we wrap this episode up. All right. Have you ever heard of the complex Chinese board game called Go?
I have heard of this, actually. It's fucking crazy.
Have you? Okay. Well, for the people at home, this game is like 3,000 or 4,000 years old. And yeah, the concept of the game is simple, but there's very much strategy to it. The game, I guess, it's kind of sort of closest to would be Othello, if anyone's ever played Othello, where you have the white and black pieces, and you, like, as you place them on the board, you can, like, take over other people's pieces, and whoever has the most takeovers and board coverage wins. Basically, you try to, like, surround your opponent's pieces with your pieces, and you can capture them, and basically that's it. I mean, there's a shitload to it, but that's the basic gist of it.
All right.
Okay, what was cool about this game is up until a couple years ago, about a little over a year ago, they weren't able to create an AI or even computer program that could beat a human. Humans could always still beat the programs in this particular game.
Really?
Yes. The first program that ever beat it was on March 15th, 2016. It was called AlphaGo Li, was the AI. It was the first AI to ever beat a world champion.
AlphaGo Li.
AlphaGo Li, L-E-E. Oh. That's important because there's going to be another one I'm going to talk about in a second. Li had to study millions of they gave him millions of examples of human expert world champion moves before it started playing games with itself. So the AI, they gave it like a knowledge base of human moves. Then they had AlphaGo Li play games against itself.
Hmm.
And then eventually they had him play the world champion and he beat the world champion. Okay.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so there's a new program. It was called AlphaGo Zero.
Oh, shit. That sounds fucking cyborg
like,
as hell.
Like Crash Override from the movie Hacker. Zero cool, bruh. Fucking serial killer. Matthew Lillard. Angelina Jolie when she still looked like a fucking little boy when she had no boobs and short hair. You ever seen that movie?
And not at all.
If you want to see Angelina Jolie before plastic surgery, go watch.
Wasn't she in that one movie where, like, she was, like, naked and shit?
Oh, but the model? Like, Gia?
Was that it?
Yeah, but this movie was even before that one. In this movie, she is as flat-chested as a fucking wall.
Flat-chested as a wall.
Go look up Angelina Jolie in Hackers. It doesn't even look anything like she looks like, other than like those big lips. That's it. Anyways, off topic.
The Angelina Jolie 8. You're going to have her fans kill us.
Yeah, they're going to be like, fuck the Crazy Town podcast. They hate on Angelina because she had a bunch of stuff done and now she's doing stuff and stuff. That's all.
Yeah, that sounds about what's all like.
Yeah, that's what happens. Say. Anyways, AlphaGo Zero. AlphaGo Zero started from scratch.
Mm.
No study of human moves. They programmed the program on how to play the game and immediately just had it start playing against itself.
Okay.
So it was just making, at first, it was just making random moves. But the way they programmed Zero compared to the other one, after each move, it would use past experience of practice games to imagine possible scenarios that could play out moving forward. So it was almost like trying to premeditate the future as it was playing.
Okay, all right.
So AlphaGo Lee also used this kind of thought process, but only versus humans, not when it was playing practice games. So it didn't have the cognitive ability to think about what had happened in the past unless it was playing humans.
Huh. But,
yeah, I know, right? It's crazy how you can program the AI. So this technique not only allowed Zero to train faster, but to become a better player.
Yeah, I'd imagine so.
In 3 days, AlphaGo Zero played 4.9 million games against itself.
That's so fucking crazy.
It taught itself how to play so well, they pitted up against AlphaGo Lee, and AlphaLee Zero beat AlphaGo Lee 100 games to zero. And AlphaGo Lee was the only AI that ever had beaten a human master or a human world champion in the world.
Wow, so AlphaGo Zero fucking won the Intercontinental Championship.
Yeah, he would be like the undisputed. He shit on AlphaLee, pushed him down, fucking kicked him, spit on him. And then AlphaLee makes the humans look like a bitch. So we're like third string behind AlphaGo Zero and AlphaGo Lee.
Yo, AI is pretty scary, man.
Well, check out what this happened, though. It said, while Zero practiced, mind you, this game is 3,000 to 4,000 years old. Mm-hmm. It on its own figured out many strategies used by world champions. Like, the AI figured out strategies humans use to play this game. And he also, 3,000 to 4,000 years after it had started, discovered new strategies never before used by a human player.
Really?
So the article said, basically, AlphaGo Zero, to a world champion to AlphaGo Zero, is basically a novice. Like someone who's never picked up the game before. Because he's so advanced now at this game.
That's crazy.
But they call it, they basically call them an idiot savant because it can't do anything but play Go and learn how to play Go.
Yeah.
But the reason I wanted to talk about this...
takes over the world.
Right, the reason I wanted to talk about this story, if they can put this technology into, like, a general-purpose problem-solving AI, holy shit, dude. Like, this thing was programmed to play Go. But if you can get an AI that's programmed to just, like, be a problem-solving machine in general...
Yeah. What problem would you have it solve?
Oh, my God. I don't know, dude. But, like, imagine, like, if you just fed it medical knowledge. Would an AI be able to come up with a cure for cancer?
Huh. Well, see, now there you go. There's something. I don't know. I still think that's a little too broad, though, honestly.
Well, right. But... dude, Singularity scares the shit out of me. Like, it's because, and here's why. For those who don't know, Singularity is the concept of machines becoming self-aware. Basically, the Terminator movie happening in real life.
Yeah, yeah.
But here's what's really fucks me up about it. Like, if this would have been something talked about 20 years ago, 30 years ago, no big deal. Now, everything in the world is based around machines. The internet, all of our banking, whatever. So if machines were to be able to become self-aware, they could basically cripple the human race by shutting down its entire financial structure on its own.
Absolutely.
And then we would have nothing. We would go into mass chaos. The machines would, like, be aware of what the fuck they were doing. And they obviously, machines are so much smarter than us. We just have reasoning and logic and all this other shit. Like, the machines really, if they really would be able to take over. And they'd be able to build better robots and create, it would just be insane. Like, if they ever became self-aware and had problem-solving abilities, holy shit.
And Elon Musk, I'm sure you're familiar with him. He brought up a topic about that if there was ever to become an ideal AI, that it would have the capabilities to actually travel back in time. It sounds so fucking crazy, and I admit that it does sound a little crazy, but it'd actually be able to travel back in time and punish and or remove those individuals that could stop its existence from coming to fruition.
Basically the Terminator plot.
Yeah, exactly.
Like as far-fetched as fucking Terminator is, I get it, dude. It all sounds nuts. And that, I mean, this is a crazy town. We talk about fucking crazy shit anyways. But it really could. Like, they can think so much faster. They don't have to sleep. They can run. They can run at 100% capacity.
All the time.
Indefinitely and never have to rest. So they would be able to advance everything a million times faster than we ever could.
Yeah.
And they would be able to do things that we can't even understand, that we can't even process with our human brain.
Dude, I'm going to have nightmares. All right, let's talk about something good. Wait, before we go. If you were to have a cyborg body part, what would you take? Are you going to take cybernetic legs, cybernetic arm, fucking hearing, a cybernetic brain, dick? You knew I was going to go there.
Dude, okay, let me first debunk the cybernetic dick, because, like, if you have a metal cybernetic penis, you can't, can you still feel like you normally do? It's like, so everything's the same, it's just a machine, and you can do whatever you
want. It could just, like, link to your brain and let off the fucking serotonin.
So as far as I'm concerned, it would be no different. It would feel exactly the same.
There you go.
But in all actuality, you could basically bang as long as you want indefinitely and not ever get
like
tired.
Like one of the fucking machines, just like a piston, just
like fucking, you're on fucking
pounding a watermelon, dude. It'd just be like fucking crazy.
Oh, wow. Well, I think that would be unique. You might fucking kill somebody, though.
I sold them.
The first thing I thought of was mechanical penis, but then I was like, well, if I can't feel it because it's mechanical, what would be the point of that?
Dude, all you need is that release of those neurotransmitters in your brain that be fucking triggered.
Yeah, okay. All right. I think anyone would take the penis. Say penis is off the table.
Ladies, you're taking the dick.
Yeah. Okay. Penis, cybernetic penis is off the table. What do you take?
What do I take? I'd probably take the arms, honestly.
So you get both arms?
Yeah.
I'd be afraid of, like, ripping a door handle off.
Well, I mean, I assume that you have some
like,
way
it's
to,
like... It's like when you have that baby Huey strength, like, you don't realize. You're just like, hey, what's going on? You, like, rip the fucking the door off the hinges because you have cybernetic arms.
Oh, my God. What the fuck's a baby Huey? I'm kidding. Yeah, I understand what you're saying, though.
Bull in a china shop syndrome. You're just like, hey, what's going on, guy? You just punch through the fucking refrigerator like you're not even trying to.
Sure, ma'am. I'll hold your baby.
You gotta, like, toss the salt shaker over your shoulder. It fucking lands in Houston.
Tosses a salt shaker over their shoulder.
Oh, wait, that was in Dumb and Dumber, where he meant to toss the salt, and he just tossed the whole salt shaker and hit Seabass.
Kick his ass, Seabass.
Kick his ass, Seabass! Okay,
oh
anyways.
My god, a movie reference I recognize!
Yeah, no shit, right? Your millennial Jacksondom didn't fucking... I don't know, whatever. Yeah, alright, I think that's about it, man. I think that is all the time that we have for today, TNT Dynamite.
Alright, man, I'm gonna have nightmares, singularity, and...
Yeah, singularity is a scary thing, so.
Dreams about my hand being melty?
Yeah, you're gonna, God, man, if you think about the shit we bring up on every episode, it's so dreary. This one was, this was like melting your hand off, machines taking over the world, cybernetic penises, Fucking God, dude. Why does anyone listen to this? I mean, why doesn't anyone listen to this? Why doesn't more people... Wait, what am I trying to say? Hi, this is Jonas. That's it. Anyways, TNT Dynamite, do you want to tell them where they can find your non-existent YouTube channel and how to find you on the interweb?
Get out of here, or I'll send Dave Navarro after you.
Oh!
Know why. You know why. Anyway, TNT Dynamite, you can find me on the YouTube, TNT Dynamite at youtube.forever. I'm also on the Twitter, TNT Dynamite at twitter.com government. Right next to Taylor Hicks. Me and him are basically the same. Is it Taylor Swift or Taylor Hicks? Which
one? Taylor Swift is like that alien-looking chick that sings songs, right?
Why? What is with you? Who do you find attractive, Jonas? Who's hot?
Jennifer Lawrence is pretty hot.
I don't even know who that is.
You absolutely know who the Hunger Games chick is. She was in the. She had that shit happen where they put her boobs on the internet and everyone had a big fucking thing.
No idea.
Whatever.
I don't objectify women. No, you can find me there, and you guess where you can find Jonas?
On the internet.
Yeah.
Oh.
God damn it.
You can find me there. Anyways, you better follow the Crazy Town Podcast on Twitter. I know some of you don't. But if you don't, Grandma will take you to the mall, and she'll leave you there.
No!
Then you'll have to take an Uber back, but guess what? It'll be multiplier time. It'll cost you $100 to get home.
Grandpa, I don't have the money for that.
Grandma, don't make me play the Uber multiplier. The Twitter is at the Crazy Town Pod. Please review us on iTunes or Castify.fm or Podchaser. All that helps. It helps expose us to the other people who don't know that we expose ourselves to you via auditory things.
So much innuendo.
Yeah. Anyways, that is about everything. SoundCloud.com/The Crazy Town Podcast. And we will see you on the next episode. And for TNT Dynamite, and for Jonas, we are out.
Over.